For old fellas, put there for old fellas like me, praise God. It's good to be back here again. Great to see you all and see your smiling faces. See the Lord is doing a work in this place. I also like the paintwork and so on. That's a blessing of the Lord, isn't it? Brightening up the house of God and preparing for the harvest, because the Lord's got a harvest ready for you. And you just need to be busy now in the harvest and stay together, work together for God's glory, and he's going to bless you. As he has in the past, he's the same God. He's going to bless, and I'm praying for you for that end. It's great to see the younger guys up here standing for the Lord and taking the work of God forward, and that's such a blessing. Should really be so much praising God for that and going forward. Would you turn please to 1 Peter chapter 5 this evening, 1 Peter chapter 5, as we think of key essentials for revived living. Key essentials for revived living. I think this is on now, yes. We're ready to go. Anything could happen. All right. Very good. All right, verse number 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Him resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your precious word. We thank you for the word of God this morning and the stirrings of your spirit among us. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you are doing. And Lord, we look to you for greater things and a greater work to be done as we face the challenges of this generation and of these years that are before us. Do a work, we pray. Use each one. Show us, Lord, our part and our place. And Lord, what you can do with us. Show us, Lord, more of your glory, that we would truly glorify you and lift up your name in a great way. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, here are some key practical things that the Apostle Peter gives to the Lord's people, that they might live a revived life and a Christian life, a Christian life that is bringing glory and praise to the Lord. And the key ingredients are here for God's people in our lives as we seek the blessing of the Lord and as we seek a greater working from our God. In verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. In many places, in many churches, there is a war between the young people and the older people. And in many cases, the old people are being shown the door because there is not the humility among the younger ones to work with the older ones and to glean from the wisdom of those who have gone on before and are experienced in the work of God. There is a need, if we're going to see God working in our lives, there is a need
obviously for humility. And that humility is seen in the local church as we work together harmoniously as a team. And you have here some younger leadership that is seeking to do the will of God and the work of God. What a blessing. What a blessing. And may God continue to bless you in that regard. But the older are going to have to learn to submit under the God's leadership to the younger. This is not natural and not normal, but it's spiritual. And it's how God blesses the work of God and how the younger and the older work together in a team for God's glory. It's so necessary and so important. And in order to do that and to get on together and to work together under the leadership one of another, it's important then for us to humble ourselves. It's amazing sometimes people that are elderly are not spiritual. People that are younger sometimes may be more spiritual and have more wisdom and guidance from the Lord as to what needs to be done in this day and time. And it's important then to be humble, to humble ourselves. And that, of course, comes in our relationship with the Lord. All of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility. It's amazing how God can do a work. It's amazing how sometimes in revival God uses the young men. And those are the men that are out there, the evangelists, and those out on the front line doing the work of God, getting out there. Humanly speaking, physically, I cannot get out there like I used to. Amen. So I'm praying for the young ones as they get out there. I went door to door recently with the pastor's little daughter, and I went and tried to go up these steps in front of a house, and I went flop right on the front veranda. My tracks went everywhere. And the pastor's daughter said, "Oh, don't worry, Pastor, just get up. Just get up." So what else could I do, amen? Get up and keep going. We only put a tract in the letterbox of that place while I got my breath and went around the corner. But that little one had some wisdom, didn't she? Pastor, just get up and keep going. What a, that was a blessing. She was only five or six? There she was with her bag over her shoulder and her tracks in there, and she was about to reach the community. And she just needed to encourage the old pastor. Get up and keep going. All of you be subject to one another. Be clothed with humility. Put on the clothing of humility, the coverings of humility. Think about what you're going to say before you say it. Ask yourself, is this humility or am I speaking in pride? And it's something that we need to be careful about, isn't it, to be able to get on. There have been many times in revival when key workers have not been able to get on with one another and have hindered the work of God in that area, and sometimes having to move one out to another area because not able to get on. It's happened sometimes on the mission field where the younger ones come in and are not willing to submit to those who are experienced and to learn the ropes from them. The clothing of humility that we see in the Lord Jesus Christ, how he was subject to the Father's wishes and only did that which was pleasing unto the Father. He himself was submitted and working in humility, and God used him mightily, as he will any servant of God. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud. The reason why revival's held up in so many places and in so many times is because God resisteth the proud. He cannot work. He is not able to work because people are so proud of their position, proud of their possessions, proud of their life and the things that they have and where they were born, where they come from and so on, their pedigree and what have you. And all of that can resist God's working. All of that can be against the Lord's working, because he has a certain plan, and he can only work when we humble ourselves under his mighty hand. And giveth grace to the humble. We need the grace of God in the work of God and in our own lives for every day. We need that grace, God working in and through us to accomplish his purposes and his will in and through our lives. So it's important for us to be humble before the Lord. Unless there is humility, there will be no revival. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. I remember reading about Mr. Moody and the two elderly ladies that challenged Mr. Moody. Young Mr. Moody, full of energy, full of evangelistic zeal, filling up his drays with kids for Sunday school and bringing in hundreds of kids and having a work of God going on. But there were two elderly ladies in the congregation, and they began to chat to one another, and they said, "Mr. Moody needs the Holy Spirit. He needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit." Mr. Moody was working hard and doing the best that he could, and working hard, people were coming to the Lord. An impact was being made, but they sensed that the working of the Spirit of God needed to come upon Mr. Moody, and that God could do greater things. He needed greater grace to cope with the situation and the things that he was called upon to do. And so it was that he went aside and began to pray for God's filling and God's power to come upon him and almost overcome emotionally and in other ways with the Spirit of God and the grace of God consuming him and taking hold of him and setting him afire for the gospel work in Chicago and then around the world, over into Europe, into Britain, and around the world, where he began preaching with great power and great fire of the Spirit of God, and great grace was upon him. God gave him the people round him that he could work with, who helped him publish his messages and do his work. His wife in particular did a lot to do with that, had a lot to do with that. But God gave him grace and enabling to reach thousands of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may not be able to reach thousands of people, but there's somebody that you can reach. There is somebody that you can reach, and you need to do it in God's power through his grace, his enabling, God providing, God doing that which we are not able to do for ourselves. And we need to wait on God for that enabling and that filling and that empowering. He gives grace to the humble. Is it any wonder why in many of these places where they've got the music pumping and wild things going on and the work of God is falling apart in before our very eyes, and things are not going on and there is not growth in holiness and grace and the Spirit of God? Well, what's the problem there? The pride of man trying to use human methods to do God's work. Humility causes us to realize we need to do God's work God's way. And we need to get our face in the book and follow God's ways and to walk in the old paths, tried and tested, that are of God, that God would use and do a work among his people. So the humility is so important. That's why verse 6, here the Apostle Peter reminds again. He is a servant of God that knew what it was to be used of the Lord in the work of God. And what does he say? "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Now remember, this is Peter, the apostle, speaking. Peter, the one who had made so many blunders with the Lord. And even the Lord had to rebuke him and say, "Get behind me, Satan. The devil was using him in some way and had to rebuke him. And this indeed got through to him in due course, the many experiences that Peter went through, and then discovering the working of God in his life. He knew what it meant to be humble and to stand and to preach the word of God in the humility of Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. We need to go to the cross and see the work of Calvary and our Saviour there, and our God, God working through the sacrifice of his dear Son and the precious blood that was shed. And we need to get ourselves on our knees before the Lord and before the cross of Calvary and die to self that we might live to him. Humility is thinking less of yourselves. Thinking less of yourselves. And that is so important. But also, it's a matter of thinking yourself less. Matter of thinking of yourself less. Thinking of God's working. Thinking yourself less. Thinking about yourself less and being selfless. There's two things there. And the answer to that is to go to the cross. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Galatians 2:20. The life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that humility is to die to self. There can be no revival while we be so egotistical and self-centered and think that we can manage and that we can do it ourselves. We can't do it. Jesus said, without me ye can do nothing. And he gave us the Holy Spirit to enable us to do the work that he has before us. We can't do it ourselves. It's not in us, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So it is humble servants of God, submitting themselves to the Lord, that the fire of the Spirit of God can fill and can work and use us in wonderful ways, ways that we wouldn't dream of, that only God can do. The mighty hand of God, consider that. As that we as believers humble ourselves, the mighty hand of God can work. He can work in and through us. He can use the weak, humble the vessels that are nobodies and nothings to accomplish the great purposes that he has. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. There has to be humility first. Before there can be exaltation in blessing, there has to be the humility. That's the royal order. The humility must come first. Revivals have been prayed down by people who have done that, who have seen themselves as nothing and needy and gotten alone with God and prayed for mighty things to happen. A few old ladies in Wales began to pray for their preachers. And they began to pray for the work of God. And once I got into trouble because I said it was a few old biddies. Now, I'm not sure, I haven't looked up that word lately, but it didn't work very well. A few old ladies in Wales there got a line and they had a place somewhere in the loft of a hay barn. And those old ladies began to praying that God would revive their preachers, that God would pour out his blessing upon them. Started in a small way, and God got a hold of a man called Evan Roberts, and God did a work on him. The prayers of those humble women, crying out to God. You say, what can I do? My mobility's gone. I'm elderly. What can I do? Pray. Pray. And that's where we come to our next point here. Now, the apostle knew what was necessary for revival and for the working of God. And he comes to our next text here. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting your care upon him. casting your care upon him. I'd like to take you back to a text back in 1 Samuel. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 1, where we see what this word casting, one of the aspects of this word casting, what it means to cast things upon the Lord. And here we find that this dear saint of God was childless, and she wanted to see fruit in her life. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian, amen? But she wanted to see the fruit. She wanted to have a little son that she could give to the Lord. It's beautiful, a beautiful story, isn't it? And Hannah rose up, after they had eaten in verse 9 of chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. After they'd eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now, she didn't get drunk as in wine and that kind of thing. She was a godly woman. They had food and they had nourishment. Now, Eli, the priest, sat upon the seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept sore. Can imagine this dear woman, childless, did not have a child. Had a husband, but not a child. I know many women that are praying that God would give them a husband, but and they can have some of the similar feelings, I'm sure, to what this dear lady had. And the answer is prayer, isn't it? And she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon him. He was to have a Nazarite vow, that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit and have a wonderful ministry. So Hannah was pouring out. She was praying to the Lord. And look at verse 15. And Hannah answered and said, Nay, my Lord, the preacher saw her there and saw her pleading and praying in that way and pouring out her heart before God. Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. In many charismatic circles at the moment, they're learning about fine wines. Oh, that's the deceit of the devil, isn't it? They start with the fine wines, and what do the kids end up doing? I can tell you what the kids end up doing. I've seen it in my lifetime, what the kids end up doing. And it's a sad story when they show up in accident and emergency, blind, drunk, and just about near death. You know, parents, it's important for us to set the example. This dear mother, she had already set the example in her life before the Lord to do right and to be filled with the Holy Spirit and do the will of God. She said, No, I'm not drunk. My behavior is like this because I poured out my soul before the Lord. And that word that we find there in Peter, casting all your care, one of the meanings of that word is pouring out the soul, pouring out before the Lord. Pour out your cares upon him. We have chaos and great anxiety today. This is the generation and the age of anxiety, is it not? So we need to know how to deal with that. Medical science has not yet developed the means of dealing with that and the source of dealing with that problem. But the Bible's got the answer. Now, Lord has the answer in his word. Here's how to deal with anxiety, casting all your care, or we would say we could call that anxiety, upon him, for he careth for you. We have a care in our hearts. We have an anxiety in our hearts. We have it in regard to the work of God. Us older guys have it with the work of God. And in many cases, we are anxious about what is going to happen in the days to come in the work of God. Where are the preachers that are going to fill the pulpits? Where are those that are going to go forward into areas where they don't have the gospel, or where the churches have gone wacky and are teaching self-preservation through humanistic ways? Where are the preachers? We have anxiety over these things, but life is full of many cares, many anxieties that we have in life. And it seems like this is the nature of the beast since the fall. This is something that afflicts humankind, and especially those without the Lord. They worry about things, and they tend to get caught up in their worries and their needs and so forth, and full of their anxieties. But the Bible says we are to pour out our cares before the Lord. When's the last time you got aside with God and just poured out your cares and your needs before the Lord, and out of a broken heart of tears, and you just unloaded before the Lord and gave it all to Him? Have you done that in your life since you've been saved? Can you remember a time that you've come before the Lord and cast it all upon Him, casting all your care, past, present, and future, upon the Lord? Because He wants to take them and He wants to work with them, for He careth for you. The story is told of a well-known preacher that was up a lot of the night, and he was praying and worrying and praying and worrying and fussing and all about things in the church and things that weren't right. And he was up to quite an hour. And the Lord tapped him on the shoulder and said, have a look at this verse. Casting all your care upon Him, the Lord, for He careth for you. And the Lord said to that preacher that night, preacher, go to bed and rest. I'll take over with the caring. Have you seen that with your life? Have you given them to the Lord and let Him take over the caring? That's what He wants to do. We're going to have revival. We need to learn to cast our cares upon Him, to cast our burdens upon Him, to cast the work of God, to pour it out before Him. The word cast also means to hurl upon. When you toss something out, okay, you hurl it out. And I don't know if there's anything up here that I can hurl. Brother Tweedy, I'm sure he'd be able to catch it if it came down, you know. Whatever it is, but no, I would not try those theatrical things. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. If you give Him your cares, He cares for you. And you would be surprised at the different ministries that God would perform on your part to show His love and His watch care over your life. He wants to do that for you. He wants to do that in and through you. It's no wonder that Peter is telling us to do this, because Peter knew the Lord very closely, and Peter saw the Lord do some wonderful things for him. He saw the Lord heal his mother-in-law. That's important, brothers. Amen. Happy mother-in-law. It's a happy wife, you know. All the rest of those things they say, but it's true. It's true. He saw the Lord do a work for his mother-in-law. I must say, I was blessed with a beautiful mother-in-law. She's with the Lord now, of course. But Peter saw that, the healing of mother-in-law. The catch of a great number of fish when he was fishless. Imagine that, a fisherman being fishless. And God just reached down and said, Peter, this is what you need to do. Here's the fish. And God gave him a beautiful draft of fishes, didn't he? Also, Peter had problems financially, you might understand. He needed to pay the temple tax and he had no money. And what did the Lord do? Told him where to get the money. so that he could pay the temple tax. This is our God who cares for us and our needs. He saw the Lord do a work also replacing Malchus' ear when he grabbed the sword and chopped the guy's ear right off, and the Lord did that. And modern science and modern medicine is only copycatting what God has done in the past. So also he saw God forgiving his failure when many times he failed the Lord, and God moved in his life to restore him and deliver him. And then in his ministry, he was thrown in prison in Acts chapter 12. Thrown in prison, and God delivered him from that prison. And it was amazing. The believers got such a shock. Rhoda got such a shock when she came to the door and there was Peter standing there. They were having a prayer meeting, mind you, for Peter's deliverance. Peter's standing there and says, "I'm here." She just slammed the door in his face and went back in and said, "Peter's standing out there." Whew! That's the Lord's working, is it not? Does he care about us? Is he not able to do mighty things for us? There was a fellow, Corrie ten Boom, tells the story of a fellow in the terrible prison that she was in. How did anybody got out of that prison alive? And there was a Christian man there that had trusted the Lord and was praying to the Lord and was very concerned about his home and family and everything, and he was stuck there in that prison. And so God put it in his heart. He said, "Just go to the men at the door and tell them the Most High has told me to leave. The Most High." So he went out there, told the guards, "The Most High has said I'm to leave." So then he trounced down the highway, heading towards France and heading towards his beloved country. And when the soldiers would stop him, he would say, "The Most High has commanded me to go forward in this direction." And everywhere he went, in the name of the Most High, he continued on. Who was that? The Most High God. But those foolish people thought it was the Most High Hitler. That's one of the names he had, was the Most High. And he has had, "The Most High has told me to go forward." You see, when we cast our cares upon him and give him everything, and in his name we go forward in his working, by his grace, he is able to do mighty things. Cast your care on him, for he careth for you. Here's the principle here. We give him our needs. We give him our burdens. We give him our situation. We give him our churches and all that goes with it. And we give them to him and cast them upon him. This is what revival praying is all about, to cast it upon him, to give it to him, and hand it over for his intervention and his working. While we've got our hands on it, trying to do it our way, he is not able to work. As we give it to him and cast it in his hands, he is able to take it and do a work. This casting also refers to fusing unto. When you do a metal casting, you heat up the metal and you may pour it onto something and it fuses and sticks to that. When we come to God with our prayers and cares and we give them to the Lord, we need to put them on him properly, well and truly. Now, that's not a quick prayer as you rush out the door. That's a season with the Lord where you may be able to do that and put them under God's care, that he might do a great work. Oh, that's what we need to do. Instead of fussing and worrying about it and fighting about it, that's happening too. We don't need to do all of that sort of thing. We need to give it to the Lord, and we need to work together and team up in humility for God's glory. Oh, there's too much pride in the work of God. And that's why God is not able to bless. So we need to humble ourselves and give it to him. If you give it to him, you will find him directing you in his way so that we can do the will of God. So it's fusing it unto him. It's laying it aside. as in Hebrews 12:1, laying aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Put it aside, put it unto him, lay it upon him, and give it to him that he might work a work in our day and take care of our needs. You know, the worrying doesn't get us anywhere. It's a foolish thing to do. You don't hear the beautiful flowers of the garden stressing and striving. I've got to produce a nice flower here. No, they just beautifully produce it. They don't build barns and worry about what they're going to eat and what they're going to wear. In the book of Matthew, it tells us how that we are to take no thought for tomorrow. We're not to be worrying and all of that and stressing about tomorrow. It tells us not to worry about tomorrow. It tells us to look at God's creation. Our Lord says, look at the creation. Look at the beauty of all of that wonderful creation that I have made. Learn from it. They don't build barns and stow things away and worry about it and so forth and all of that, but rather just trust the Heavenly Father. Trust the Heavenly Father. He careth for you. Who? The Heavenly Father, the Creator of the ends of the earth, the heavens and the earth, is your Father, and he is your carer. You've got a carer. Now, as I'm getting older, I've got three daughters altogether, you know. They're sort of, as one over there, she's my carer, you know. Melody, could you do this? Could you? We have a carer, though, in the Heavenly Father. We have a carer in. Not that he's going to be the runaround. We're just telling him what to do. Here, go there. But we are humbly submitted unto him for his will to be done, and so that we can see him working in and through us. So we are not to worry, we are to cast all of our care upon him. We are to seek first, in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The blessings that we need come from the Lord. Only he can do them. Only he can bless. Only he can do the work. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. We need to give it all to him and let him do it. Prayer is so important. This verse teaches us the importance of prayer. This is only done through the operation of prayer and through the time with God of seeking him to do the work of God and to pour out his Spirit upon us that we might see him do a great work. And then in verse 8, we are also told if we're going to see the blessings of God and reviving in our lives, we need to be sober. Sober up. Sober up. Be sensible. Be aware. Be alert to what's going on around about you. Be vigilant. Be on guard. Be ready. Be ready, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. With revival comes the attack of the devil. Attacks from Satan become very real and very powerful when the word of God is going out. We've seen that in Newcastle, as the word of God's been going out, and as our team of young guys have been going out, and gals, they went out, there was a gay march going on, and so they did what they normally do on Saturdays, go out with the word of God. So they went out giving out a tract, heaven or hell, heaven or hell. Make your choice. They went out with that tract, started giving that around and so forth. So it began to cause a stir around town. And on the next day afterwards, caused a real stir around town, and the devil was stirring up. The devil was stirring up, and this particular politician, she was stirring up as what she was going to do. She was going to get us thrown out of our meeting place. She was going to get the pastor. I don't know what she thought she was going to do with Pastor Charlie, but, you know, I'd be careful if I was her. But anyway, she was going to do something to Pastor Charlie on the work of God. She was going to do, made all sorts of noises, and a journalist down the newspaper, she got involved with it, and he said, "Were you just targeting the gay community?" And he said, "No, we were giving out the word of God just the same as we do every weekend to everybody that's round about wherever they're meeting and whatever's going on. We're out there with the word of God." So the woman wanted to put something in the newspaper, so she went ahead and took a photo. He downloaded a photo of the tract and some things about the tract to the woman, which she then downloaded into the newspaper. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Got it into the newspaper. But you see, the devil was stirring up. The word of God was getting out. Devil was stirring up. Don't be surprised. That's how it happens. It's how it goes. And the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, by the way. We're praying for, someone was praying for the suffering saints of God in prisons and so forth. They are in that way. They were in the New Testament time. The book of Acts tells us about the persecution on the believers, and we can expect that. But here the Bible tells us then to be on guard, because the devil's walking around. He wants to devour whoever he can. You're meat to him, and he wants to tear you up and tear you down and wreck your life. And a lot of people can't even see it, what he's trying to do, to wreck their lives and are making terrible decisions and going out into the world's ways. And the devil's laughing. He's deceived them. Be careful. Satan is a deceiver. And he works that way, to deceive people and to get them doing bad things that are going to destroy their lives. He's a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Not a pretty picture. Have you seen a lion jump on a prey and tear down a large hyena? Tear it to pieces? Say, "But it's a big, fast hyena." Oh, yeah. And it's a giraffe with a long neck. The man that can see everything can bring a giraffe down. A lion. And some haughty, proud Christian is a prime target for the devil to bring down. So don't be full of your own ways. Don't think that you know everything and you're smarter than God and smarter than the Bible. Listen to what the Word of God has to say and be alert to Satan's attacks and his devious ways that he is working to destroy society. It's not just the churches that Satan wants to destroy. He's after the society. He's after the next generation coming up. He wants to bring in and make everything legal so that he can tear everybody up who gets involved in that kind of sin. Sin is our enemy. The devil uses it. And he uses it to devour people and devour whole lives and whole families, whole churches if he can. Be sober, be alert, be aware. Be open-eyed, be on the lookout, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Then in verse 9, the believer needs to be resistant. Resist the devil steadfast in the faith. Resist in the faith. Don't resist him by talking to him and trying to think that you can fend him off. No, hide yourself in Christ. Hide yourself in the doctrines of God's word. Hide yourself in the faith. Hide yourself in faith in God, knowing that the same afflictions which were accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, others suffer the same attacks that you do. Satanic attack is real. And be careful of it. Satan cannot possess the believer, but he can wreck their lives by getting them to make ridiculous decisions and do foolish things with their lives. Don't listen to him. Don't be foolish enough to be duped by the devil, who wants to get you offside with God and with your fellow believers and with your dear pastor. Humble yourself before the Lord. resist the devil. Resist him in the name of the Lord. What did Jesus do when he was attacked by the devil? Out there in the wilderness, the devil began to attack him and told him to do certain things. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Live by the word of God. Give him the word. And then humble yourself before God and keep following. Resist. We need to resist the devil. We need to be heavily resistant against the attacks of the enemy. And that can only be so as we hide ourselves in Christ. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Oh, how wonderful, we have the armament of God in the Word of God and the faith in the Lord. And those wonderful things as we hide ourselves in Christ. That's what it is. Hiding ourselves in Christ, resisting the roaring lion, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Others are having the same battles, the same difficulties, the same problems. And we need to stand for that which is true and that which is right, and not give in to the evil one, and to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So I think that in order to ward off Satan's attack, we need to keep our eyes upon Christ. We need to trust him for all things. And then we need to keep busy in the work of God. Many believers are prey because they're on the edge and they're not in the team working for the Lord, working in the team of reaching, working in the prayer team, in the teaching team, whatever, and gathering together in the Lord's house for every service and every opportunity. People get out on the edge and the devil says, that's it, I'm getting this one. I've got them right now where I want them, doing nothing. So resist him steadfast in the faith. Other believers are going through the same battles and they're not giving in. Neither should you. Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we go on in verse number 10. We're nearly there. But the God of all grace, who calleth us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Notice here the key thing in this verse, suffering. Suffering. This is a key part of the believer's life. Say, oh, I thought it was just trouble that comes on and it's not good. Well, God uses testings and trials and troubles and suffering to accomplish his purpose. Because when you are suffering, when you're lying flat on your back in the hospital, there is only one place that you can look, amen? You're looking up. That's it. You are looking up. I've been there, I've done that a few times. I got so blessed. I got so blessed. I mean, my health was shot when I was in hospital that time, in bed, you know, and the blood pressure's way low and falling away a bit and all the rest of it. I thought I was having revival because I was talking to the Lord and I was closer to the Lord than I've been for a long time. And I realized in that situation, what would I need to do to go to glory? Nothing. People, you know, sometimes the hymn writers got a bit carried away and talk about getting ready for glory and, you know, and all the rest of it. Man, when the Lord and the Holy Spirit and the Lord says this is the time, your numbers up, as it were. The world uses that terminology. But when your time is come, there's a time to be born, a time to die. God says this is the time. You'll be going to glory and be leaving. And you won't have to pack your bag, amen? No packing of bags. It'll be heaven. Wood and all the rest of it. But the suffering, you see, that we go through is in order to establish us in the Lord, to strengthen and settle us. So how can that do that? How can trouble and sickness and problems do that? Oh, well, just get ready next time. Next time some trouble comes along, look to the Lord and draw closer. Allow him to perfect you, to develop you to be more like Christ, more like the Saviour, to establish you, strengthen and settle you. Oh, when we're busy and we're running around from here to there and doing this, that and the other, and we're so busy, the Lord says, time out. Time out. Okay? When he says time out, you're on the bench for a while, settling down there, you can look to glory and develop your relationship closer with him. Pastor Ernie Vesley spoke at our couples retreat earlier in the year, and we had a great time. And he said that with his leukemia he suffered. Memory's gone quiet over there. Whatever he had, leukemia, cancer anyway. And it was chewing his body up and he was near death. And it was, where was it in his body? Pancreatic cancer. And normally it's a killer. There's very few people that survive that illness and live on. I think it's only 5% that survive that illness. Anyway, everybody began to pray for Pastor Ernie, and he was laying in flat on his back in the hospital, tubes going everywhere and all the rest of it, learning to look to the Lord and hiding in the Lord, which was the theme of his messages, learning to hide in God. And there the Lord continued to develop him in spiritual growth, to establish and to strengthen him and to settle him, so that he's been a blessing since the Lord raised him up to so many through the working of God in his life. There is a value in suffering. If we really want revival, we must be prepared to enter into some suffering. The world is absolutely diametrically opposed to the things of God, and is becoming very violent in their expressions of those things. In this country, they're also becoming very legal about them. And the Christian community around Sydney donated $2 million towards Israel for Lau's legal costs over this business of him being sacked because of his belief in God. And he's posting a biblical statement that sinners are going to be turned into hell. They didn't like that. And they moved quickly against him to sack him and to put him out of the sport community and all the rest of it. Anyway, through it all, he's shined as a testimony for the Lord. He has shined. And that's how God works. You can't expect blessings without testings and trials. Praying for the blessing, accept and expect the testing and trials, but know that God has a purpose for strengthening you and preparing you for a greater work. So remember that. He has a plan, he has a purpose, and he is doing a work for his glory to strengthen and settle you, something that's hard to do while you're so busy and not focusing upon him and looking unto him and relying upon him for his grace. So, but the God of all grace who has called us to eternal glory. God gives grace, he gives ability, he expands our abilities, and he gives us greater grace for greater needs and greater problems and a greater work. The one lady said to the preacher, she said, "Preacher, I've got so much on my plate, I can't do any more. My plate is full. The preacher said, sister, get a bigger plate, amen. Get a bigger plate. And that's because God will fill it. Open your heart. The more you open your heart to his working, the more you humble yourself, realizing your inability and your weakness, the more he's able to strengthen you. Remember Paul praying three times, the Lord to take away his illness. God didn't take it away from him, but said, my grace is sufficient, Paul. And he went on to serve the Lord and die gloriously for God. And that was the wonderful thing. And in verse 11, we finish. Verse 11, we finish with a special challenge here. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. To who? To God be glory. What is the purpose of revival? So that the preachers look good? So that the crowd looks good? So that the church looks good in the community? What is the purpose of revival? The purpose is to lift up and magnify and glorify the Lord. That's what he wants to do in and through us, through our testimony and all that is involved in the working of God. Give him glory. Don't seek glory for yourself. Seek glory for the Lord God and for the work of God. Let him have the glory. Give him all the glory. And it says forever and ever, amen. Let him continually get the glory. If you see something good happening, give him the glory. And say, boy, we did a good job that time. We got so many tracks out and one fellow got saved. We did a great job. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You're just getting started, amen. I could do a brother anger on you there, but no. You're just getting going into it. Give him the glory. It's when he does great things. Give him the glory. Worship him. Praise him. Lift him up. That's what he wants us to do. That's the secret of revival, is to glorify God, to enjoy and to praise and lift up the name of the Lord. It is said of the Welsh revival that the Welsh people sung away the revival. They sung away the revival. So what happened was they got hold of the tunes. The music got hold of them. They got hold of the music. But listen to what I said. The music got hold of them and they got hold of the music. Where's the Lord in the midst of it? And there are still Welsh choirs. If you want to join the Welsh men's choir, I won't tell you where they practice. You know, there are heaps of choirs all over Wales and they're singing hymns. But guess what? They're not glorifying God. They've lost sight of the Lord. They enjoy their amazing voices. Certainly I've got a few Welsh friends. I've got to be careful on that one. But, you know, it's all about glorifying God and wanting God's glory. If you can sing, do it for his glory. If you can preach, do it for his glory. If you can witness and speak to people and bring them in and teach Sunday school and all these wonderful things that God enables us to do, then give him the glory. Rejoice in his wonderful working. Oh yes, I think God does want to bless his children. He wants to bless his children. He wants us to have revival in our lives and in our churches. It comes as we humble ourselves before the throne of God that he might pour out his blessings upon us. It comes when we cast ourselves upon him in prayer, pour out our hearts and beg and plead for the working of God on us to do what only he can do. And as we give him all of our cares and troubles and things that bother us, we give them to him and let him carry them so we can focus on him and his glory. We also need to be sober, to sober up, to be sensible, to be wise, to have our eyes wide open, and to be on guard and be on the lookout for Satan's attacks, the roaring lion. we also need to continue steadfast in the faith. Hold to sound doctrine. Hold to the word of God. Challenge yourself with sound doctrine. Stand in sound doctrine, knowing that the same afflictions are on our brethren that are outside and out and about in the community and around the world. And then we need to suffer. We need to be willing to suffer some. But for all for his glory, we need also then to give him glory in all things, to seek his glory and his power and his blessing in the work of God. Let's bow in prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you, Lord, for these instructions, practical instructions from Peter. We know the Apostle Peter had heaven's direction upon this letter. And Lord, I pray that each one of us might take heed to these practical teachings tonight, Lord, that we might humble ourselves before you. We might be just absolutely nothing before your throne. Cast ourselves down in humility and crown the Lord Jesus Christ, King and Lord of our lives. Father, he was willing. He was willing to humble himself, even under the death of the cross. Help us, Lord, to be nobodies, so that you could be something for everybody through us, Lord, we pray. Do a work, we ask. Bless this dear church, Father, as they seek your face and they seek your reviving. Make the camp a touch of reviving. But we pray, Lord God, that even now you'd start that work in us. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed before the Lord tonight, you need to come humbly, humble yourself before the throne of God. Admit your pride and need and humble yourself, confessing your sin and forsaking that which would hinder you, putting your cares and worries upon the Lord and putting him first, and then seeking to give him all the glory. Just dedicate your life fully to him, that he could have all the glory in and through you, in your life and in your days and in his work. Please bless, we pray. Please, Lord, as we bow before you, meet us, Lord. Bless us with that blessing that only comes from heaven. We need that reviving. Wilt thou not revive us again, O Lord? Father, we pray that you do that reviving again. And Lord, that stirring in our hearts and in the church by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.